Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, we go fishing in Xbox's pond. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, and I am joined, as I am always joined, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. Mark, how's it going?
It's going great. I have a question for you about whistling. Are you on the way over?
Yeah.
I was driving, and I was whistling, and I had, or I was trying to whistle, and I had a brief, like, moment of panic.
Where it's like, Where you forgot how to whistle?
No, I knew how to, but could not make sound
you
happen.
Just put your lips together and blow.
But nothing was happening.
Huh.
Is that... But there are people who
cannot
whistle.
That's right. Yeah. There are also people that can do, like, the other kind... Have you ever been able to do the other kinds of whistling?
So I've never been able to do, like, the two-finger whistle.
Right,
like
two-finger whistle.
The sports coach whistle.
Right, yes. Or like, the where you, like, hold a leaf of, like, grass between your fingers.
Yeah,
and,
never
like,
been able to do
never
that
Never been
either.
Able to do that one either.
So I'm grasping to, like, the one kind of whistling I've ever kind of been able to do.
Sure.
And I'm worried that I'm losing it.
Hmm.
Like, maybe I'm just losing the ability to whistle.
How worried? Like, if it goes away, like, what have you truly lost?
Well, if somebody's like, what song are you trying to
Then you just gotta, like, now? Then you gotta, like, sing it or hum it or
hum
something.
Hum it, yeah.
I mean, is your go-to now, if I'm like, I don't know that song, like, relay the melody to me somehow.
Uh-huh.
Is your instinct right now to whistle it to me?
I fear it might be. And then I lose that, and then what do I have?
I mean, I think you just got to sing or hum. I think I gave you the solution.
I think maybe I carry a whistle with me everywhere.
But that won't help you with a melody. You should carry a kazoo with you everywhere.
What about a slide whistle? Would that help me with the melody?
I think you got to be really accurate with a slide whistle,
okay,
right?
Okay, a kazoo.
Yes, a kazoo is just singing into a kazoo, right? Like, that's really all that a kazoo is.
Yeah.
When I worked at Hollywood Video, back when I was a child, there was a man who used to come in and just whistle absentmindedly to himself, tunelessly, the entire time he was there.
And he was, like, a frequent customer?
Yes.
The whistler.
Yeah, which is what we called him. Because what else can you call him? He literally does not... He would come up to, like, the counter to check out, and I would... You know, it's their long shifts, and, like, you ring up a ton of people. This Hollywood Video, everything was marked down to 99 cents all the time, always. So it was, like, a rush every day, all the time. And so, like, there's a lot of not engaging people in conversation because you're just trying to check them out as fast as possible and, like, get them out the door. But when the whistler shows up, you got to talk to him so that he stops whistling and talks to you.
The whistler, like a man who absentmindedly whistles to himself out of tune, sounds like the sad old person that would be featured in Home Alone 5. You know what I mean?
That's
and
right.
Then you find out that, yeah, he whistles tunelessly, but it's because he's sad for some reason.
Yes. Well, and I don't mean to mischaracterize it as somehow, like, out of tune. He is whistling no particular melody.
Oh, he's just like... He's just a whistler.
He's just a whistler.
Yeah.
It's not as though he's, like, aiming for a song and missing it. He is ad-libbing. He is improvising all over the Hollywood Video in Kenosha, Wisconsin with his meandering whistle.
All of this, oh, man, all of this whistle talk just makes me feel like that could be me, except maybe it won't be.
I bet you can still do it.
I was really struggling.
Can you try now?
I'm not going to do it into the mic because what if I let out, like, the most piercing whistle and, you know, it's just, like, too loud.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm really self-conscious about it right now. I was about to whistle myself and now I'm like, no, I don't want this, like, committed to the podcast.
I know. We'll do it off mic. Oh, yes.
There, I can do it.
All right. Let me see.
Yeah, you still got
that's okay,
it.
That's okay. That's all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a little breathy.
Yeah.
But... If you'd like to hear more whistle talk, you can go to patreon.com/Nintendo Cartridge Society. There is no whistle talk there, but there are miniseries that if you are supporting us at the 8-bit or 16-bit level, you get access to them. We put out one episode every month. We have done NCS Detective Club, where we discuss the great detective shows on television.
We have done NCS Goes Broadway, where we talk about Broadway musicals.
And now we are doing NCS Arcade, where we are talking about games on Nintendo Switch Online and Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack that we have never beaten before.
That's right. We did The Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap. We have done Jet Force Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are working our way up to talking about Kirby Tilt and Tumble that we'll be releasing later this month.
And can you believe that we do this whole like preamble here with no notes whatsoever? We're just riffing this. Even the back and forth, that just happened.
Yep.
Anyway, check that out if you are interested. Head out on over to the Patreon. Thank you to everyone who is supporting us there. We appreciate it. You can also go to our Discord where people are talking about stuff like this show and like Nintendo. Just email us, NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. We will send you an invitation. You can hang out in there. You can talk with me. You can talk with Mark. You can talk with other people who listen to the show and have a good time. Mark. My Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle sourcebook, issue 1, is in stores right now. Issue 2 comes out on April 3rd. Can't believe this thing is in the world. Will continue to come out into the world. If you are interested in what I have to say about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, please check it out. You can get it in your comic book store. All right, Mark, let's dig into our topic today. We're talking about Xbox games, Xbox Studios games, and whether we think they're going to be or should be on Switch. Did I appropriately characterize what we're doing today?
Yeah, I think so. And maybe we should open it up to Nintendo hardware, because probably a lot of these
are going on 3DS.
A lot of these are going on the 3DS. Or really the Virtual Boy if we're lucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Switch is probably hitting the end of its life.
Right.
And so, but maybe next Nintendo hardware, it, you know, will be a little bit more powerful, easier to port some of these games over.
Mm-hmm. Well, and obviously the reason that we are talking about this and thinking about this is that Xbox recently was like, hey, you know what? A couple of our games, not many, but a couple of our games are going to be going to other platforms.
Business update.
Big business update.
Get on the video podcast.
That's right. We do get Tina Amini out of Cryo Sleep. She's got a podcast to host. They're like, these four games are going to come to other platforms. And for Nintendo, we give you Grounded, and which has not yet come out, and Pentiment, which both Mark and I are playing and enjoying.
Yep.
So we thought, okay, let's take a look at the Xbox Studios games that have come out since the release of the Xbox Series. So like the most recent Xbox hardware. Because, you know, like, we can reach further back into the sort of archives here. But, like, let's just talk about, like, what's recent and relevant. And I just wanted to, before we, like, start going through those games, just bring up the Bethesda, ZeniMax, Activision, Blizzard of it all. Because those are obviously studios that are recently under the Microsoft/Xbox umbrella. But, like, are they considered Xbox Game Studios games, or like they still feel separate to me?
So I think,
yeah,
that Xbox games,
it's gonna be a lot of statements that start that way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is gonna be like a We Guess Pokemon type episode.
Yes.
Where it's, yeah, like, I know these words. But what does it mean?
I know
how do
parts
I decipher
of these
this?
Words. Yeah.
Yeah.
This may be one of our most like going into an ignorance spot for us.
Yeah.
And just talking about it.
Yes.
So forgive us when we get stuff wrong.
Uh-huh.
And just know that we know we're wrong. So it's fine.
So I believe that Xbox Game Studios is its own umbrella of developers.
Yes.
And so, like, 343i is underneath that. Oh, yeah, 343 Industries
uh-huh.
is underneath that. You know, like,
Obviously, Rare.
Rare is under that. Double Fine is under that. So I think that is like a distinct entity with its own,
yes,
you know, like structure and its own reporting
is
structure.
Is it Ninja Theory, the studio that does the Senua Saga,
yeah,
Hellblade 2?
Yep. So I think all of those are like Xbox game studios, and they report up in like the corporate structure in a specific way. And then like Bethesda, I think, is run independently, but
under like the ZeniMax umbrella. Because, like, id
so,
and
yeah.
Machine Games, like, all of those.
Or does ZeniMax... Here's a question I genuinely don't know the answer to. Does ZeniMax exist anymore? Or, like, did ZeniMax own Bethesda, and then Microsoft bought Bethesda from ZeniMax?
No, because they have the other... They have id, and they have the rest of the pieces
Arcane and all that stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
So they bought them all. Like, they've all been scooped up. But I still don't necessarily think that they are all Xbox game studios.
I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's like Bethesda or like ZeniMax, whatever it is its own, just like Xbox game studios is its own structure. I think Bethesda is its own structure. Activision Blizzard is its own structure. And then those all report up to
Microsoft. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and so like, because something like Starfield, for example, right, a big Xbox exclusive game that came out of Bethesda, that still is going to start with like an Xbox Studios splash screen, right? I didn't play this game, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that that's true. I think it's possible that it just has like a Bethesda.
Yeah. That's interesting, and we don't know, and I don't really know how to look that up as we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, I don't really know either.
But I mean, I think that the same thing also sort of has to be true of the Activision Blizzard games, right? That they are also their sort of own umbrella, and obviously because both Bethesda and especially Activision Blizzard have these histories of being multi-platform, it feels like those are sort of the no-brainer ones that Xbox can get away with making multi-platform without pissing off, you know, their fan base already.
Right. But I feel like the four games that we have seen announced all came from the Xbox Game Studios branch, right?
Like, yes.
There were rumors that Starfield potentially could be coming to PlayStation 5. There were rumors that maybe they were looking at the Indiana Jones game. Both of those would be under that Bethesda umbrella, but neither has been true so far. Like, the four that they announced, like Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, Grounded, and Hi-Fi Rush, are all from Xbox Game Studios.
Right. But yeah, I mean, interestingly, you go over to, I'm just on Starfield's Wikipedia page, developers, Bethesda Game Studios, publishers, Bethesda Softworks. So, like, yeah, they are still, like, a separate entity, separate publisher under the Xbox umbrella, under the Microsoft umbrella.
Which I guess, like, Activision Blizzard will operate, like you're saying, the same way. I was just watching on YouTube the opening of Starfield, and it is just Bethesda. There's no mention of Xbox at all.
Okay, weird. So we're mostly now going through a list of games that fall squarely in the Xbox Studios umbrella, as we've designated it now. We will touch on some Activision Blizzard, and we will touch on some Bethesda. But, like, I think the real conversation here is about this very narrow column of Xbox Game Studios games.
Well, especially because, to me, when we were preparing for this, the craziest thing about Activision, like, Activision itself...
Call of Duty.
It's literally, basically, just a Call of Duty studio.
Yeah.
So, if since 2020, it's had many Call of Duty games. It had the Stadia port of Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Mm-hmm.
It had the Crash Bandicoot 4, which was multi-platform.
Yep.
And then
Crash Rumble or whatever it's called.
Well, so yeah, it had the party game.
Yeah.
Crash Team Rumble, which was multi-platform, and it had the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1+2 Reboot Camp, and then but that's it. Literally since 2020, All Activision puts out is just, it's just become a Call of Duty studio.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, I mean, I guess it is what it is, and that's fine, and who cares?
Well, I mean, those will be coming to.
Yeah, that's true.
Nintendo, right?
Right.
They signed a 10-year contract.
Right. Contractually, legally, those games are going to be coming out on Switch or whatever follows the Switch. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Is there a Call of Duty coming out this holiday? There is every year, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
Does it have to come out on Switch? Or when does that 10-year period start? Who knows?
Right. Especially because it seems like it would be mutually beneficial to both Nintendo and Microsoft for them
right.
to figure out a time that it's beneficial to them both to start
yes,
doing that.
Yes.
Which would probably be new hardware, but we'll see.
And was there new hardware this year? Is there new hardware next year? We don't know.
Yep.
A lot of question marks here. Should we start to run down the games that have released on the Xbox Series consoles since its release in November of 2020?
Yes. And so we're going to start with the Xbox Game Studios games.
Right. Which, again, distinct from that other stuff.
Yep. So the first one on the list is Forza Horizon 4. That released in November of 2020.
And put a pin in this one because you're going to hear this. You're going to hear us say these words a couple times. The Forza games are all very like graphically intense, right? Like part of their thing is like, look at these cool cars.
Yeah. I feel like the Forza series came about as Microsoft's kind of like answer to Gran Turismo.
Right.
Which for the longest time was the gold standard of like simulation cars.
Right. It's how you get good enough at racing to have David Harbour yell at you about just being a video game player and not being a real racer.
Yep, that's right. Uh-huh. And so the Forza series came around as kind of like a response to that. And then Forza Horizon, I don't know what the distinction is between
the
two.
I don't either. Going to be approaching a lot of this from a position of ignorance. But I don't know. I sort of feel like the driving simulator racer style game, just like, I suppose it could have a home on Switch or Nintendo hardware, but like, it doesn't feel right, does it?
I feel like it's, I was going to say that I feel like it is one area that Nintendo hasn't been able to, there's nobody filling hole
right.
in the Switch lineup. Like, it's not something Nintendo is doing, but it's also not something that any of the third parties are really doing. Like, we've seen EA do a port of Burnout Paradise, but like, that's such a different thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Know,
yeah, that's more arcadey, right? Like, yeah,
then when I think of this like cars being perfectly rendered
yes.
and driving specific ways, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like that's a hole in the Switch lineup that, you know, nobody has really filled.
So does that make you think that it should be showing up on whatever the next Switch is?
Well, I mean, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there are so many games or variations on this in this series. It feels like, I don't know, like, it must be tremendously successful for Microsoft.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Then it makes me think that, no, it won't. It's one of their premier,
sure, it's
like,
one of the things
Xbox
that people go
titles,
to Xbox for. Yeah, that makes sense.
That it wouldn't show up on Switch.
Here's my counter pitch. I've got this Labo steering wheel that I've only been able to use in the Labo game. I could play Mario Kart with it, actually. I'm reminded now I could be playing Mario Kart with
but
it.
You really want to be using
really
it to like the
Forza,
perfect
yes.
render of a Ferrari.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, can you imagine like showing up to like a Forza tournament or whatever and everyone's got their like big heavy duty wheels that they spent like $200 on, and I roll up with my Labo kit unassembled and put it together?
Yeah, cardboard
yep.
and rubber bands.
Rubber bands, yeah. Which, hey,
David Harbour yelling at you.
David Harbour yelling at me, telling me to fold it faster. You're not a real craftsman.
Legolas shows up.
Yeah, Legolas does show up, and he's like kind of a douchey guy in like a suit and stuff,
did
right?
Did either of us see this movie?
No.
I didn't either.
All right. So we don't know about Forza Horizon.
Well, I'm saying I doubt it.
Mark says no.
I doubt it.
And I say only if it has Lambo support.
Yeah.
Okay. So next is Gears 5, which is that genuinely the name of the game they dropped the of war?
I think so.
Okay.
Because Gears 5, wasn't Gears 5 sort of a reinvention of the series that went... I remember the reception to the game being fairly muted.
Sure. Let's see. Gears 5. I mean, it's got a 7 out of 10 on Steam. Third-person shooter developed by Coalition. Blah, 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 blah. Generally favorable reviews. Seems like, yeah, kind of the low end of good.
So I think that this game was originally released on Xbox One, and then in 2020 was its
You're
release
correct.
On
yes.
the Series X and S. Wow. Okay. Just take a moment to like how interesting it was. It is the how Nintendo is able to sustain franchises in a way that other companies are not. Like you have the Zelda franchise that has been running since the 80s.
Yeah.
And then you have the Gears franchise that was huge in the Xbox 360 era. And then two generations later has just kind of fizzled out.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, we have not gotten to Halo yet, but I mean, I think like that's kind of the trajectory of Halo as well, is that, well, and it launches with the Xbox, right? Combat Evolved does. And then it like mostly goes away, has like a fun little bump with Infinite. But I feel like that has mostly fizzled away and like the series is not something that people talk about or like has any kind of footprint at all anymore.
Yeah.
It was like one of the biggest things in games during the 360 period. And now it's just like nothing.
Yeah. Just Nintendo kind of makes it look easy.
Yeah.
To be like, oh yeah, Mario's relevant. Of course it is. Like, oh, this next Mario game is great. Everybody likes it. And
right.
They'll be making Mario games forever. They'll be making Zelda games forever. But it's hard.
Yeah.
Clearly it's hard because other companies are not able to sustain it.
Well, and also like those are two very long-running franchises, but like there are so many franchises that aren't that long-running.
You're thinking of ARMS, right?
I'm thinking of ARMS. No, but I mean, like, I'm even thinking about like Ice Climber or like
totally, or like
Punch Out,
Wario Land.
Yeah, all these games that like go dormant forever, and then you know, dorks like you and me freak out about when like Famicom Detective Club games are getting remade. But like, yeah, I mean, I think Nintendo is good at it to an extent. But I think they're also blessed with having like two of the greatest games in creation that they can make sequels of forever.
But
in the form of Super Mario Brothers and The Legend of Zelda.
I think that's true. I completely agree with that. But then also like, really, are they? They're not really making sequels of those.
No, that's
true. You know
what
true. I mean?
Like
yeah. they are, but
yeah.
they aren't.
Yeah, you're
like,
totally right.
You look at the original Legend of Zelda. You look at the original Mario. The DNA is still there, but they're not really. They're not like direct sequels to each other. I don't know. It's just interesting
right.
to compare that versus like something. Mm-hmm. This is not anything against the games because obviously they're beloved, but like the Uncharted series.
Yeah.
And those are like sequels, right? They are.
Totally. Yes.
They elaborate on each other, but they are very much sequels of the game. It's not like the Mario series or the Zelda series where they are constantly reinventing themselves.
Yeah.
What that means.
Which is dumb because, I mean, I know this is a Nintendo podcast in which we are talking about Xbox
games.
Let me talk a little bit more about Uncharted. Because Uncharted could reasonably just be about any adventurer. You know what I mean? Like, you could put out an Uncharted colon something, right? Like, just give it another subtitle. It doesn't have to be Nathan Drake and his buddies. It can be anyone trying to get a treasure somewhere in the world. And, like, that could or would be fun. Right? There's no reason to be like so precious, so like tied to a continuity, but like that's what they've decided to do of like tell a linear story, tell like a very cinematic thing.
Well, and I think the cinematic part that you're hitting on is a really big part of it. Like, I think that is Nintendo does not approach games from like a story perspective, right?
Right.
They're not trying to tell a true continuous story with Zelda.
Right.
They're thinking like yes. gameplay first. They're thinking of them as games. It's not stories, not, you know, like anything like that.
And also not vehicles for actors either. Like there is something about the Uncharted games where I'm just going to keep harping on Uncharted here, but like Nathan Drake is Nolan North, right? Like if you like him as an actor, you're going to like spending time in that game, right? And like the same thing is true of like the Last of Us and Troy Baker, right? And they bring him into Last of Us or Uncharted 4 because he has like movie star draw for them now. And like Nintendo doesn't have a movie star in terms of like voice actors. They just let Martinet go. It's a very like interesting opposite approach to like selling your games as movies.
And I feel like God of War is a franchise that has been successful,
yes,
in kind of like reinventing itself with the, you know, with the most recent two games.
Yeah, 2018 and Ragnarok.
But yeah, it's tricky. It's hard. It's really hard.
All of which is to say Gears 5, dropping the of War, it's cleaner. Feels like a non-entity to me. I know people are like that the Gears franchise when it was big, but it this doesn't really feel to me like it made much of a mark at all.
I don't think so either. Like if it showed up on Nintendo hardware, it feels like it would be an act of desperation almost.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. But get one of those guys in Smash or something, right? With that like chainsaw gun. All right, moving on. The next item on our list here is Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which is on Switch.
Yeah, and when the first Ori game came to Switch, that felt like that was a really big deal.
Yeah.
But just like when, obviously, Ori is a little bit different from Cuphead because Ori was like developed by
an Xbox Game Studios, whereas Studio MDHR, is that what they're called?
I'm not sure.
Was
like independent.
They're an independent studio that just had like a partnership with Microsoft to put their game out there
first.
But
to me, when Ori showed up, it was like, oh, that is cool, but it feels like an indie game, not in the same way that, you know, even though it is, but like if, you know, Gears showed up, right? Or like Grounded is a good example.
Right.
That feels like, oh yeah, Xbox is publishing an Xbox game on Switch, whereas the Ori games, I feel like, had the same impact like when Cuphead showed up, and it's like, that's really cool, but it feels more indie game-ish.
Yeah, which is, it is so weird how, like, and I guess maybe all of these, like, divisions are, like, equally arbitrary across all three of the major platforms, but, like, it's amazing how murky this Xbox, like, stuff seems, right? Where, like, there are really the smaller games like Ori that just don't feel like an Xbox Studios game. And then like someone's got to ask you like, what do you mean by that? And I got to be like, I don't know.
Right.
Whereas like, obviously Nintendo has a lot of partners that they publish games that are developed by not them, just people that they've had, like Intelligent Systems, for example, a studio that Nintendo doesn't own, but like, just makes Nintendo games, or like HAL, or you know, all these different companies.
Game Freak,
yes. That like occasionally can do stuff on their own, but like no, they got the juice when they're with Nintendo, but Nintendo's never gonna own them. They still feel like Nintendo games. I don't know. All of this is it's amazing how much of like you just gotta go by your gut.
No, it's true. And I'm guessing that when they are trying to make these decisions about which Xbox games go on other platforms, like kind of they're doing that same sort of, you know, like gut math. But I do feel like Ori and the Will of the Wisps
gut math
and Ori and the Blind Forest does that feel like that would be like on the Man Show or something?
That's right.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps or Ori and the Blind Forest, that those are that sort of like indie 2D platformer type thing feels like at home on a Nintendo platform.
Right.
And so like
and they are.
And so for Xbox, like I can see the math where it'd be like, where should we put this game Like, oh yeah, like it makes sense to put it on a Nintendo platform. There's an audience there for that sort of thing.
It's just amazing how both malleable and fragile these brands are, where it's like, this thing is spongy enough that you can put it on other platforms and no one will even think twice about it except to say, oh, that's cool. Whereas like, you just wonder like which of these games, when you put it out on Switch, makes someone go, what? You know what I mean?
Right. And also almost like the opposite. Like, I feel like I'm so smooth brained when it comes to Xbox and PlayStation at this point, but I like think about, talk about Nintendo, yeah, play Nintendo games like all the time. And so would it even be possible for us to do this exercise for Nintendo properties that should go on other platforms?
Right.
Because to this like brand identity, to me, and this may not be true for people who are like really into Xbox.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the Xbox identity is nebulous compared to PlayStation. I feel like has a pretty strong identity. Nintendo has a pretty strong identity. I have a hard time being like, what Nintendo games, Nintendo published games, even if they're not Nintendo developed, would make sense on other platforms.
Right.
That feels like a harder exercise to me.
Yeah, and I think they'd all be cop-out answers too, of like Daemon X Machina and
right.
Astral
I mean, but
Chain.
But that's a good example. Like those, you know, like those could be, but. Yeah, Xbox feels uniquely positioned to be like, I don't know, I guess so.
Yeah.
Where else is it going
to
go?
Okay, so that's we've discussed Ori. Let's move on to the next one here, which is, of course, Sea of Thieves.
If Nintendo hardware could run it, I think this would be a great one for...
I absolutely agree.
Nintendo.
You ever mess around with Sea of Thieves?
Uh-uh.
So, like, there is something very fun about its, you know, you basically have to team up with other people online, and so they would need to find some kind of workaround for, but I guess like Fortnite has, you know, like live game chat in it, so like you can figure it out, but like it is just very like chill and explore-y, and like, man, it would be nice to run around the world of Sea of Thieves with just people who are playing it on Switch, so you don't feel so like threatened all the time by the hardcore that have been playing it forever. Because you do just like encounter other ships that will like board you and take all your stuff, which is when the game does stop being fun. But like everything about it is so like slow and measured, and like if you are sailing a ship, you have to do all the steps of sailing the ship. You have to run over to where the anchor is and pull it up. You got to go, like, look at the map, like, go into the cabin, look at the map, and then, like, get up and be like, okay, now we're going to cut the sails this way. Someone's got to get on the wheel. And so it's a lot of, like, cooperative stuff, which is super fun and could be fun if, like, four people are in a room with their separate switches looking at their own screens and like can make call outs to each other. Like I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree. I feel like that'd be a good one.
But I do think at the moment it is, while it is very stylized in its graphics, in like a light rare kind of way, that it is probably still too graphically intense for the current Switch to run it confidently.
Up next is Halo, the Master Chief Collection, which of course has been released previously, but showed up on the Xbox Series consoles in November of 2020.
But not on release day, a week later for some reason. What all is in the Master Chief Collection? Is it just Halo's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I think it's 1, 2, 3, Reach.
ODST in there?
ODST, maybe. Okay.
This should be on Switch.
Yeah, I think it should. Same, like, you know how we have the Doom games on here? I think this would be awesome.
Yeah, and like, I do, for as like nebulous as the Xbox brand is, the their sort of like commitment to the Master Chief character feels Nintendo-y to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he doesn't feel like a Nintendo character, the commitment to him, the colorfulness of this bright green outfit that he wears, the fact that he like has an alien buddy that like does missions with him, you know, where it's like, yeah, that all fits. Put it on Nintendo.
Yeah, this would be, it's like the BioShock collection.
Yeah.
When that showed up on Switch, like I bought it. I haven't played any of the games on Switch, but I have fond memories of BioShock 1 and 2.
Is that it? Is just 1 and 2 Infinite's not in there? I don't think it is. I think it's...
I don't think it is either. I think it's just 1 and 2.
Hmm.
But the Master Chief Collection is another one of those that I would buy just to own it. And like, would I ever play Halo 4? I don't know if I'd ever get around to it, but sure would be fun to own.
But this is also the experience of Halo fans, right? Of like buying the Master Chief Collection on Xbox and then just being like, oh, I'd never play it. Both Master Chief and Sea of Thieves are obviously games that rely so much on the online play. Although I think you could reasonably put out a Master Chief Collection on Switch that is just the campaigns, and I think people would still be like content enough. But like, yeah, this what the Switch's ability to play games online, the new one has to be improved.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Which just feels like a blanket true statement anyway. But for any of these Xbox games to make any sense on them, I think you definitely need that. Next up, Mark, State of Decay 2.
Which is a zombie survival game. That's all I know about it.
Yeah, that's basically all I know about it as well. I feel like survival games just hit everywhere, though, right? So, like, yeah, put it on Switch.
Yeah, sure.
Next up, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
I feel like this is like like driving simulation where there's not an equivalent.
Right.
On, but this is, I also think, like Forza, like the a Microsoft speciality that, you know,
yes,
if you are into it, you're gonna want to come to Microsoft for it.
Right. Yes, but it launched on PC first, I believe. So like that PC feels to me like the flight sim place, right? And that's because like, I don't know, growing up, did you have friends whose dads had flight simulators on their computers, or is that just a me experience?
Yeah, no, I didn't know anybody who had one.
It just, yeah, it feels like a thing that belongs on a desktop computer, because like, when you play a flight simulator on like the hardest mode, like everything in the cockpit is like mapped to your keyboard, and you got to really like, you know, play it by like pushing every single key and making sure everything is ready for you to fly, which obviously would be a difficult transition to something like Switch, but there are the easier versions of it that are a little bit more automated, that like, you know, the whole thing is just like a chill out, fly the plane, kind of experience.
I don't, yeah, it's,
I say put it on Switch.
I mean, Labo VR, anyone?
Go on. Wait, that you would have the VR headset on?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And then, look, there's a flight stick in the Labo as well. So,
and a
like,
piano. Right. So you got the chill part of it.
Piano can be very stressful, Mark. yeah, no, I say absolutely. Flight Simulator, yes, put it on there.
If it, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. Up next is Psychonauts 2, and this one
genuinely
feels like it should be on Nintendo hardware.
Yeah, I agree. It is on literally everything else.
It's on Linux.
Sure, take that, Linux. Yeah, no, Psychonauts 2 should, I mean, it's like a 3D platforming game, right? Like, it feels very Nintendo-y.
Forza Horizon 5.
Repeat everything we said about the last one and copy-paste, right?
Yep. Halo Infinite. Weird to say no? Like, it, no, I don't think it needs to, right? If you get the Master Chief Collection, that would be huge.
Right.
Get Halo Infinite on there? I don't know that anybody really cares.
It is interesting that it's like, oh yeah, play the classic Halo games. Absolutely, that makes sense as a Switch package. Play the most recent Halo game? Get out of here.
I mean, no,
go play it on Xbox.
Yeah, but yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. Maybe it's a throwback to that, like, early 2000s when Xbox was big. Something about the retroness of it makes it feel like, yeah, put it on Switch.
Yeah. That, like, exploring gaming history is, like, part of playing Nintendo. I don't know. All right, next up is a game called
As Dusk Falls,
which I must admit, I have no idea what this is. As Dusk Falls is a 2022 adventure game developed by Interior Night and published by Xbox Game Studios. Blah, blah, blah. The gameplay of As Dusk Falls revolves around interactive storytelling as well as novel techniques used to gauge consciousness among players for pivotal narrative decisions when playing cooperatively. It is in its multiplayer modes.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means but either.
It is on PlayStation 4 and 5. Just recently.
Sure. So it seems like it could be on these other platforms. But, you know, it's probably just along the lines of the like Dark Pictures anthology style games, right? Multiplayer narrative games. So, like, I guess put it on Switch. But I don't think that's the right game night vibe for Switch. Game night vibe for Switch is like Mario Party.
Right.
Mario Kart.
It Takes Two.
Smash Brothers. As Dusk Falls, gonna say no. I say no. Mark, do you say no?
Yeah, sure, no.
Mark says yeah, no. Next up is Forza Horizon 5, Hot Wheels. This version with the Hot Wheels, yeah, put that on Switch.
Yeah. Put that on Switch. This feels like the Final Fantasy 5, not 5, 15 Pocket Edition.
It does feel like that, yes.
Grounded, of course, is coming to Switch.
Yep.
Next month.
And Pentiment is the next one that makes it a ton of sense on Switch. We're both playing. We're both enjoying.
Another name you're going to hear, I think, a little bit on this list. Age of Empires.
Yeah.
Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
Right. We cut a lot of the Age of Empires games that were on here that were like PC exclusive. Mark, Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, one of these like historical strategy games. Are you an Age of Empires guy? Does that style of gameplay appeal to you at all?
I haven't played any of these games or Civilization. I had a friend who played Civilization in high school, and so I remember like being at his house and kind of seeing him play, but it's never been a series that I've been into. But I also don't feel like there are very many types of these games on Switch.
That is true. The Switch is not hurting for strategy tactics games, though. There are a wealth of those, and I wonder if it has already like cultivated its fan base of like the more colorful, fun, like not easier necessarily, but like shallower experiences.
And there's probably a lot of indie games that I'm just not familiar with doing this. So I'm gonna say no.
We're saying no to Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventures.
Sure, let's go on Rally Adventures.
These must be expansion packs, right?
I don't know.
Minecraft Legends, on Switch.
Already on Switch, obviously. Anything Minecraft, put it everywhere you can, right?
Age of Empires 4.
Copy, paste.
Forza Motorsport.
Copy,
my God. Paste.
There are so many of these things.
And people are like, yeah, Nintendo puts out a lot of Mario games. But
have they put out?
There's an endless appetite for Forza games, apparently, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, have they put out 5 of them in the last 4 years? And the answer is yeah.
Yeah, they have. They've probably done that in the past 18 months.
That's true.
I just checked my watch like that was going to tell me. Yeah. And then Killer Instinct Anniversary Edition.
Yeah. So
hard yes.
Hard yes. Although hard yes, but it's not as though the hardcore, it is as though the hardcore fighting games have been skipping the Switch in recent years. You know, Street Fighter hasn't been on there since, like, Street Fighter... No, 4 is not even on there either. Wait. Yeah, you can play... So there's the arcade collection that has 3, but I don't think there's a Street Fighter game after 3 available to play on Switch.
I don't think so either.
Obviously, the Mortal Kombat games show up there, but the Killer Instinct... You got to feel bad a little bit for the Killer Instinct, you know, this like remake of Killer Instinct, because it is so feature rich and they put so many characters in it. And by all accounts, it's like a pretty sound combat system. It's just like who plays it.
Yeah.
I don't know how exactly PlayStation cornered the market on like fighting games, but like that's where you play fighting games. So yeah, let's put Killer Instinct on both Switch and PlayStation. Really broaden the audience, get cross-platform play, and then it stands a shot of actually being like a big deal fighting game.
And the reason I was like hard yes is just because it has a history on Nintendo platforms previously.
Yeah, I am hard-pressed to, if you say this game is developed by Rare, for me to be like, yeah, don't put it on, you know what I mean? Like it should be on Nintendo hardware.
And then there's one upcoming Xbox Studio Game Studios game that we wanted to talk about, and that's
Senua Saga Hellblade 2. Hellblade, The first one, when it came out, was a PlayStation exclusive. And then the game went multi-platform, but never to Switch, I don't believe. Then Ninja Theory was purchased by Microsoft. So the sequel is one of those games that they've been showing off at Microsoft events for years. One of those, like, stop showing us footage of this game, just let us play it already. The first game was a pretty short experience, like sub 7 hours, like maybe like 5.5 hours long. And I don't think that the next one is going to be much longer. But it will be like a graphically intense, like, powerhouse showcase for the Xbox Series. I don't think it will run on any, even a new Switch hardware.
Yeah, I think that's true. You played the first one, right?
I played the first one, yeah.
I think it's really interesting that, like, the first one must have been commercially successful enough to warrant, like, for have them pursue a sequel. But they've been working on it for so long. It's like, how much is this game going to sell?
I mean, that is a great question. How much could this game sell? Like, it doesn't. It feels like it's such a niche product. Yeah, the first one came out in August of 2017.
Yeah. Here's also something that I didn't think about until just now. So I remember learning about Ninja Theory for the first time when Heavenly Sword came out on the PlayStation 3, I want to say, during the PlayStation 3 era. Do you think that Heavenly Sword and Hellblade, that those names were chosen purposefully?
Yeah, sure. Next they're going to do Purgatory Knights. yeah, I mean, it just feels like it is too much into the, like, let's demonstrate what the Xbox Series S can do, X, I guess, and, like, not really wanting to mess around with lower spec versions of itself.
All right, so that's Xbox Studios games.
Yeah, up to the present and including a little bit into the future.
So let's talk about what Bethesda was up to in the same period real quick.
Yeah, because there's not a ton here. So Deathloop, which originally was a PlayStation exclusive, but then came out on the series games after, or the Xbox Series consoles after. This is from Arkane. This is the one that's like a stylish, like, time loop, like, mercenary shooter, sort of asynchronous multiplayer kind of stuff happening in it. I think this would be cool on Switch.
I think this would be cool too.
Even if you got to, like, dumb it down a little bit.
Yep. Up next is Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, kind of a stylish, action-y, little bit spooky.
First person.
Yeah, it's a, yes.
Action adventure game, right?
Yeah, and this one didn't hit super hard, right? It's a Tango Gameworks game. I feel like this one's more or less, like, came and went. Put it on Switch if you want. But
Ghostwire Tokyo is an action adventure game played from a first-person perspective. The player can use various psychic and paranormal abilities to defeat the ghosts and spirits haunting Tokyo. Sounds to me like a spiritual sequel to Geist.
Sounds like a spiritual sequel to Geist. Sounds
put it
like
on
a,
there.
A spiritual sequel to Ghost Trick.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. The Nintendo DS game that was recently released on Switch. Yeah. I mean, this just feel. Give us the trilogy.
That's right.
Geist, Ghost Trick, Ghostwire.
Also, Ghostwire Tokyo. Let's put, you know, Polterpup in there. Is his name O from Another Code? No, what is his name? D.
D.
D. Put D in there. Other ghosts.
But you know, you're right. Just like in the Ubisoft Toys to Life space adventure game that whose name I'm blanking on.
Starfield Battle for
Starfield
Atlas.
Starfield Battle
no,
for
not Starfield? Star Link. Star
Starlink
Link.
Battle for Atlas that had on a Switch exclusively Star Fox characters.
Yes.
Do that same thing for Ghostwire Tokyo.
I thought you were going to say the Skylanders Bowser and Donkey Kong.
Another good example.
So there we go.
Yeah.
Put those characters. Look, put Polterpup in more stuff. I don't want to have to ask twice.
Hi-Fi Rush?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, for all we know, this they tried to bring this to Switch.
Couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't figure it out. So maybe next Nintendo hardware, we'll see it there. It does seem like a good fit. Makes sense to me.
This bucks the trend of what we were talking about, of the four games announced for other platforms being all Xbox Game Studios games. Hi-Fi Rush is a Bethesda game.
You're right. You're totally right. Redfall.
Who cares?
Yep. Starfield.
Starfield is a different case. And didn't make a huge impact when it came out, but wasn't nothing either, right? Like, I think if it came to... Here's the thing, is that it's basically like Skyrim, right?
It's basically... I guess, I haven't played it.
Right.
But Skyrim was beloved, right? And so it makes sense to me. They're porting it everywhere, ported it to Switch, brought that, like, enhanced anniversary edition over, like, the full works. What I'm hoping for, honestly, in the next Switch generation, I wish it happened this time. I'm sure there's a reason that it didn't, but that I hope it happens on the next Nintendo hardware is like a Fallout collection. I really would love Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and sure, throw Fallout 4 in there with
put
the DLC.
Put 4 in there.
It'll be like that BioShock collection. Will I ever play these games ever?
No, but you'll have it.
But I'll have them. The opportunity will be there.
And what, they're gonna charge like $60 for it? You get three games for the price of one.
I'm into it.
Yeah, that gut math checks out.
but same with
it's like a dumb macho version of girl math.
I'm just imagining like stomach acid roiling around inside, you know?
Yep.
And then
chewing up a calculator.
That a man swallowed. I would love to see, like, if you put Skyrim, you put Oblivion. What was the one that launched on Xbox 360 initially and was a really big deal. I think maybe it was called Oblivion, but I would like to see that get re-released as well. Starfield. I don't know. It should have been something that I was really excited for, because I do like that, like, Skyrim, Fallout, you know, Bethesda type RPG. But maybe it was also the kind of like mixed slash muted response to Starfield,
right?
That has made me just lose interest in it.
I wonder if, like, you know, 3 years from now, they've been like dutifully updating Starfield, if suddenly it's just revealed to like be a great game all of a sudden.
And totally true. I feel like that happens all the time, right? More with like the service games, like when Fallout 76 launched, that was a dud. Sea of Thieves when it launched, it took a while for all these games to find their
No Man's Sky.
And so maybe that will be true for this. It was, in fact, Elder Scrolls for Oblivion.
There you go. You knew it. You didn't need to check with me. And then the sort of last Bethesda game that we have in here has not come out yet, but is, of course, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, coming to us from Machine Games.
And this is one that was also rumored to have been discussed as being multiplayer along with Starfield. Xbox multi-platform. Xbox has so far denied it, but who knows what will happen in the future.
Well, and they did call out that and this was really just to address the first four games that they were going to announce, but at the time of the podcast were not announcing. They said, now we are not talking about Starfield. We're not talking about Indiana Jones. So, like, I wonder if there's, like, a sphere of protection around those games until someone talks about how to make money with them, and then the sphere of protection goes away. This is another one where I'm like, I feel like it's going to be too technically demanding for even whatever the next Switch is. Like, I think they're really pushing for this to be an intense...
Like a showcase.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true.
But I also think that the game is going to need all the help it can get, because I feel like Indiana Jones is a cursed property at this point.
It's a dusty franchise.
It is a dusty franchise that is based on a movie star who's not in this game.
And it's an interesting take on what an Indiana Jones game would be, being primarily first person.
Yes.
So it has a lot of things going against it, I think.
I think so, too. I think if there is, like, excitement around it in the sort of, like, games press side of things, it's because those are mostly 40-year-old men who liked Indiana Jones when they were kids and are like, wouldn't it be cool if there was a cool Indiana Jones game? I'm not saying this game is doomed, but
it's just not a relevant franchise.
It's not super relevant. Yeah. You know, we both liked the most recent Indiana Jones movie, and it still was a huge disappointment at the box office. So, like, but also they spent like $300 million on that movie. So, like, what are you gonna do? All right, that's sort of all of it.
Yeah, that's it.
Are there it's okay because you know we haven't really prepared for this, but are there games or franchises from the Xbox Studios past that you think you know, because we just did the most recent generation, but games that reach like further back into their catalog? I already said that, like, if it was a Rare developed game, you know, accepting things like you know, the Kinect games that they made, but like, yeah, should Banjo and Kazooie Nuts and Bolts be available on Switch? Absolutely. Should the new Battletoads game be on Switch? Absolutely. It only makes sense that they would make it over.
Yeah, I think Rare Replay.
Yes.
That collection, if it showed up on Switch, it just makes, I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you can think of?
There must be, but I really can't.
Yeah, really, it's tough to think of. I mean, as far as like, let's talk about Fable for a second.
Oh, actually,
so the Fable games are another, like, at least in the first two. Have you played Fable 3 at all?
Nope.
I think my roommate played it, and I watched him play some of it. But the first two Fable games are so, like, character based. They're like, what if a Western style RPG was like friendly and kind of goofy, right? Which feels like it would be totally at home on Nintendo hardware. And a lot of those, the first two games for sure, are 360 games, right?
Yeah.
Or is the first one an original Xbox game?
My
point is they can run on the Switch. Or they should be able to.
The original one is in fact an Xbox game.
Yeah, and then 2 is 360, I believe.
Yep.
And then 3 is either 360 or 1. I think it's also 360. I think it's been a long time since they put out a Halo or a Fable game.
Yeah, so Fable 3 was an Xbox 360 game.
Yeah.
In 2010.
It's been 14
years. It's been 14 years.
What are they doing?
There was that Journey like spin-off game that. And then they announced a reboot, right?
Oh, I mean, they announced a Fable 4, yeah. Now a couple of years ago, there being like a little video that was just like a tone piece, right? Of like a fairy, like kind of like flying around and then getting like eaten by a frog or something.
Oh, that's right.
Which is like, yeah, that's the tone of those games. So like, did a good job in that regard. But yeah, man, did you say 2010? It's the last one of these?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so it looks like there's been like some spin-off games, like Fable Fortune was, it's no longer available, a free-to-play digital collectible card game. But I wonder, because both of those were so, in my opinion, Fable is inextricably linked with Peter Molyneux.
Yes.
And when he left Lionhead Studios,
there you go,
the developers of the series, then it feels like maybe another, like a franchise that lost its rudder, you know?
Sure. And it is like specific enough and weird enough that you do need to have like a personality at the center of it who's like driving it and making all the calls of like, that's not far enough or that's too far.
But another good example of like a franchise that was synonymous with Xbox.
Yes.
That just withered on the vine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. And like withered on the vine in like an instant. Because Fable 2 was bigger than Fable 1, and I guess like 3 kind of fell off because it has like the back half of that game becomes like a kingdom management simulator. But like that's cool and different, and like so what if like the last swing of it doesn't like totally connect with everyone? You put out another game.
Yeah, weird. But yeah, I think Fable, I put the first two Fable games
yeah
on Switch.
I don't put them all on. What the Fable trilogy? Come on. Why are we holding out?
I'm withholding. I'm withholding.
No, I don't like that. Put them all on there. I think that's probably it. Is there any? What about that Star Wars Connect game?
I was thinking the dancing one.
Yeah,
that I was I'm thinking Han about
Solo.
That too.
I'm Han Solo.
Maybe if the next hardware has like a camera or something that can track you. Basically, they just put a Kinect and a Switch.
I mean, does it need to like you've got Joy-Cons? Like you just hold.
Oh,
those.
Just do like the Just Dance type thing. Yeah. I mean, I think the short answer is always I would love to have a Star Wars rhythm game. So yeah, yes. They should bring that back.
You know the Princess Leia song, right? It's a genie in a bottle, but it's a princess in a battle.
That's good.
You gotta That's join genius. The rebel way.
I don't know that Disney has the same sense of humor since they've bought Star Wars that George Lucas did, where because George Lucas is not like super precious,
right?
You know, like with the Star Wars characters, so they would show up in car commercials and they would show up in Duracell commercials as jokes,
right?
You know, in a way that Disney has not allowed the characters to be, and so it would be awesome if Aspyre was to remaster this game.
Yeah, that's good. Here's a little tangent. The Duracell bunny, what's his deal? Where do we get this image in our head of a pink rabbit with a bass drum wearing sunglasses? Like, is that
that's some Don Draper like good work?
It is, because it's like it feels like a primordial thing. It feels elemental, but like you've never seen that in your life.
Yeah, it just exists and we don't question it.
Yeah, we're like, yep.
That's the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, and he's like, cool, I guess, is what the sunglasses are about. All right, are there any other Xbox games? I guess just looking at this list, the only other thing that like catches my eye, and obviously it's not an Xbox Studios game, but it is frequently an Xbox exclusive, though it has made appearances elsewhere. What about Dead Rising?
Yes. Bring a Dead Rising trilogy collection, mm-hmm. including Chop Till You Drop.
Please let me play Chop Till You Drop. There is also a Dead Rising 4.
Yeah, but I'm withholding it. I just want the 3 and Chop Till You Drop.
Right.
And again, I think it's that Halo like 5 or thing.
Totally,
where,
yes.
You know, there's just some sense of like, if you're going to do these collections, there has to be. But yeah, I mean, sure, throw 4 in there. But another
go back to being withholding.
Another collection that I would absolutely buy would probably never play like 3 or something like that.
Right.
But I would.
Oh, I'd turn it on
in a second.
Yeah.
I would purchase a Dead Rising collection.
Yeah, that's a
Nintendo
day one
hardware.
Purchase for me. That's I'm paying a full $60 for a game I'm not going to turn on. Yep. Like 100%.
Yeah.
What about Sunset Overdrive? Again, a game that was not an Xbox
game studio.
Right, but was published by Microsoft from Insomniac Games, yes?
Is that right? Because isn't Insomniac owned by Sony?
They are now.
Oh, but they weren't at the time.
Yes, yes. Developed by Insomniac, published by Microsoft. And like a lot of the sort of DNA of moving around in that game is the same as Spider-Man, right? I think absolutely put Sunset Overdrive on Switch.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
All right. Is there anything else, or should we wrap this up, Mark?
Let's, I really can't think of anything else. There is something about like anytime there's like a retro game from the Xbox era or even the Xbox 360 era at this point, I'm like, oh yeah, that should be on Nintendo hardware.
Yeah.
Something about the nostalgia and Nintendo just makes it a perfect mix.
Yeah.
That's just good
gut math.
Gut math.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of, I was going to say episode of gut math. Gut math, not gun math. I'm not interested in gun math.
No.
Did you ever, when you were a kid, play Donkey Kong Jr. Gut Math?
No, I never did. I think it's a rare NES game.
It is. Why isn't that on? We've said this before. Why isn't that on Nintendo Switch Online?
Someday, God willing.
God willing.
I'll live long enough to see the re-release of Donkey Kong Jr.
math
on some Nintendo hardware in the future.
That's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. I guess let us know if we left anything out, anything obvious that should be coming over to Switch from the Xbox side of things. And if we totally misunderstood what some of those Xbox games were, I don't think we need that. But you can email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. Thank you so much to our 16-bit patrons, Connor McKay, Patrice Millette, David Henley, Alias X, and Kyle Seaborn. We appreciate you all so much. Everyone who is listening, who is contributing on the Patreon, who is in the Discord, all of that, we like it a lot and appreciate you. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8-Bit Betty. You can get more of his music by going to 8bitbetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ehlers saying thank you for listening.